prospects. And in 2015, we actually developed the multi-page document, and in that were different alternatives and a recommended proposed concept for developing Waterfront. Then in 2021, we did some tourism marketing industry planning update. We did a 2022 town hall that was focused more on the Deepwater Port, and that's important to bring up because we plan to shift our cargo transfer facility out to the mill property, which that was brought up at that town hall and very well supported, along with shipyard fabrication and maintenance activities. Those were the top two choices out of that town hall meeting from the community. And then 2023, we got our PIDP grant, which helps push the planning along for the cargo transfer facility transition. And then in 2024, we did a variety of community stakeholder engagement and surveys. 25, we picked back up the Waterfront Master Plan and the Deepwater Port Development Plan, and we prepared the EDA application. And then in 2026, we didn't submit the EDA application 25, but we started working on it back in July of that year. But in 26, we approved the ACL lease agreement. And maybe that was actually 25, I can't remember. But we approved the ACL lease agreement for the docking facilities along our waterfront. We revised the waterfront concept, and we submitted that as part of our EDA grant application. And then we signed recently, back in June, an AML lease agreement for the cargo transfer facility. And then for 2027, what we project to do is complete the fill project, expand the Marine Service Center, and seek to develop the community park component of the waterfront concept. So any questions on how we got here and what we're up against?
For the public, are we going to start the fill?
I'm gonna actually, I'll get to that in this next couple of slides. Let me get through this old Waterfront Master Plan first. So just a reminder, this was what phase one of the 2015 preferred alternative and the waterfront looked like. So the main objective of phase one was to expand the Marine Service Center. Really not a whole lot different from what we're actually doing. We're just doing it a little bit different way. So that was one of the core intents of the master plan. And then a phase two was really focused on pedestrian walkway access, stemming from the northern city dock cul-de-sac all the way down to the Nolan Center, embracing the bulkhead along Campbell Drive. And then phase three was a fishing pier. So I don't know what the context of that was. I don't know that it made a whole lot of sense if it was just kind of a tourist attraction. I don't really know. I wasn't in those conversations. If it was just more of a community kind of fishing pier, I don't really know what the intention was, but make much sense to me. And then the fourth phase was really developing the northern section where the cargo transfer facility is. It called for vacating that section and pursuing other alternatives, which we have further defined now as the mill property is our focus and an intended alternative. So when you look at this, you know, this is kind of the complete four-phased original waterfront master plan. It doesn't fill the footprint that we're looking at today. And most of it is, and if I just kind of, I don't know if I can zoom in on our point, but oh yeah, I can.
There you go.
If I kind of zoom in, this is all just park. You know, you got a pier and park, so there's no real economic development activities happening other than the Marine Service Center expansion. And there's really not a full footprint that's cohesive along our waterfront. So I think there's a lot of lost opportunity from the waterfront master plan. And thinking back, kind of hindsight to 2020, when we developed this EDA grant, we were really forced to substantiate how a new waterfront would pay for itself, provide return on investment for the community, and develop industry. And in that challenge, we found out, well, shoot, this plan really doesn't accomplish that. I mean, wouldn't everybody love a giant downtown park? But there's really nothing, you know, there's no commerce happening, additional commerce or economic development really stemming from this. I mean, I suppose, you know, the fishing derby for the kids would be better on the 4th of July on a fishing pier and things like that, but there's really nothing else out there. And I think the assembly offers some pretty good sentiments. And this is ultimately where we landed with staff in the assembly in our last work session on back in 2025. We still wanted to expand the Marine Service Center. We still wanted to fill the waterfront footprint, but we wanted to expand the footprint. We want to make sure that public access is all the way through the developed footprint. We still wanted to relocate the barge services out to the mill property, and our focus was creating industry and the downtown economy. So those were all key and front and center as we developed the revision. And then we came up with this for the EDA grant. And this was, again, by Corvus Design, Chris Myrtle. He was engaged in a series of public engagement activities leading up to submission of the EDA grant. He did this rather quickly and providing feedback from the community presentation, from staff. I think he did a really great job with the quick timeline that we had. And so this is something that you, as the assembly, have not formally approved, but it's something that we're using as staff internally to direct what our next few steps are going to be. And a lot of today's conversation is really, is this something generally that we really want to move on? Because sooner than later, we're going to have a full cohesive footprint to work off of, and we're going to want to move on it. And I'm going to, Patty, what was your question again?
When are we starting the fill?
Great. So that is the next slide. So this is a 65% design set from PND, who's designing the waterfront fill project. Now there's some caveats to all this. So the 65% design set does not include the extension all the way across to the old mill dock abutment and the toe of that slope and the fill there. So this line right here, if I were to zoom in on this poorly pixelated picture, future embankment alignment. So this is where that line will be, the line of the embankment on our fill. So in the 95% design set, the 95% design set, the whole thing will be filled. And the way we're designing this, and it'll be out to bid, is the area to the left where that center line is, center line left is the base bid. And then we're gonna have alternative A to the right, and then there'll be alternative B to the right of that, that's currently not displayed in this design set. And the reason we're doing that is we don't know where the bids are gonna land, and we for sure need to commit to filling out or American Cruise Lines docking facilities. And it made sense at the time to start with the from left to right when we're looking at the waterfront. Just so we weren't like coming out just in one bulb to make ACL and then to the left and to the right, because there's too many different design considerations. Now, one of the things that you guys had asked in previous meetings, and something that staff and I have contemplated, is why do we need to design a waterfront fill project? It's fill, we've talked about it a lot, but there's still some really core infrastructure involved in this project. We're extending water to the site. There's gonna be various water users along the waterfront, including ACL, potential vendors. You're gonna want it in your park, you're gonna want a bathroom eventually out on the waterfront. So instead of ripping it all up later, it makes sense to include water in the project. We have power being extended in this project, and we're looking at wastewater options as well. Storm drain infrastructure needs to be extended from the existing outfalls all the way out to the end of the new fill footprint. And so that's why we had to design this with PND, and also maintaining alignment between our waterfront goals and ACL's docking facilities, because they have an independent design firm working on that, that we have to maintain alignment, and that needs that call support consistent design practice. So in terms of timeline for where we plan, when we plan to fill, we should get our 100% design submitted in August from PND. We'll go out for a competitive bid and they will assist us in developing that bid package in September. In October, we plan to select the contractor and move towards construction. And by March of 27, we plan to be complete with the whole fill done and the utilities implemented. Concurrently, American Cruise Lines, which is, kind of fascinating to me, is planning on construction concurrent with our project. So they're gonna start driving piles before the whole fill is complete. And so they're gonna be pretty confident in what they're doing, I suppose. But I figured you'd wanna have your fill footprint in first, but their goal is to have an operable facility by May of 2027. So they're still moving towards that. And I got a little progress photo on the next slide for you. So this is actually from today. Their crew sent me this from Ketchikan. This is the Empress in the Jag Yard. It's got painted, sandblasted, and now it's going to go to Ward Cove for topside work. So they're going to do the concrete and the ballast work in Ward Cove. I think it's getting launched tomorrow or something, what they said, but it looks pretty nice. They did a good job. I think they put the rails on it. Maybe the rails were already on there, but anyhow, that's kind of what we're inheriting for our docking facility, the floating dock component anyway. And again, this was just as of today. So I'm gonna stop there. That's a little bit of where we're at currently, and a little bit of taste of where we're going. Does anybody have any questions on those first few slides? Okay. So I'm going to pause here just and I create a financial slide for you guys, but I want to talk about, because this is going to lead into another component of our discussion with Lucy, and I'm going to pull up your email to me, Lucy, your park proposal. We have various different sources to develop a funding to develop our waterfront. We submitted a bond to the bond bank. It was approved. It was issued in April, on April 14th of this last year. That was $4 million. We're accruing interest because those bond proceeds have been invested. I think it's going to be closer to like $4.2 million by the time we're complete with the fill project. So we've garnered, you know, $100,000 to $200,000 of interest on top of those bond proceeds. Now, the other thing you guys did is you guys drew a full withdrawal or approved that last fiscal year from the permanent fund, and that was $424,000. And that resolution was for park infrastructure, and that could include the waterfront. So you have $424,000 reserved there. You also have Parks and Recs donated funds and the APRA distributions of close to $120,000. And then on top of that, we got $375,000 from the state of Alaska this year in the form of a designated legislative grant because they had excess CPD funds. And actually, I just talked to Senator Stedman today about it. The state had $26 million of surplus funds. They prorated based off of visitors for each community, gave Anchorage an extra million to make the deal work. And, you know, that's how we got the $375,000, which is a pretty fair deal, I think, because historically, when I first got here, we were only getting about 56 grand in CPB funds each year. That's graduated to almost about 80,000. And I think after this year, it'll be a lot more. It'll be probably in the $120,000 range in CPB funds annually. So that's a nice shot in the arm. The CPB fund will be close to $1 million in this budget cycle. And that should be in your guys' print budget.
Also, this total.
Yeah.
$1 million. Okay.
Yeah, for the CPB fund alone. Right. And then you have $424,000 to the permanent fund. Another APRA distributions that you have restricted for development. So the point is, we actually have a fortunate amount of capital to work through our waterfront park area. Good morning, or good evening, guys. we do have the tools to be able to develop waterfront park, Kyle Langerman, and so there's going to be a conversation on the sources and uses of those funds between all of us. So, in terms of, and I want to focus just on the waterfront for a little bit, and then Lucy, I'm going to give it over to you on the actual Kyle Angerman component, because it's kind of attached, our funding is attached to either or, and so we kind of need to start thinking about how we want to frame up the proposals. So, you know, my suggestion out of today, when we look at the revised waterfront development concept, is really looking to bring a detailed phase one scope work to you guys, assuming we've already got the fill in place. So that's great. We got a bunch of rocks sitting out there. The whole few acres is filled out, but we don't want to sit on that. So does this include the service center expansion in phase one, the change up of the Chugach placement and the shelter, procuring and developing the pavilion along our waterfront, the park-like infrastructure? What does phase one really look like to you guys? And I want some feedback today so staff can begin to work on that layout and concept. And then we can start to engage the community after you guys have given some direction. The other thing I think that in the assembly meeting tonight would be prudent was for the assembly to really task the Port Commission to conduct an alternatives analysis for the site over there. We're going to get more land in the Marine Service Center. And what does that look like? Do we want more lease space for potential tenants? Is that space for long-term storage? Do we want a mix of both? What's the best benefit to the Marine Service Center and what serves the community's interests? So I think that might be something I would suggest tonight for you guys to direct the Port Commission to look at. In August, again, we'll get our design set from PMD. September, we'll bid it out. October, the fill project will commence concurrently with ACL's docking facility constructions, and we'll have pile driving up in town for that too. So that's something to keep in mind. By December, it would be nice to get the financial plan in a phase one scope where we do some public engagement and you guys formally approve that scope to move forward. And then in January, I view that as a time where we're starting to procure waterfront park infrastructure, survey the parcels, Marine Service Center and the community park, and start moving. So in spring, we can get right into construction after the fill's been complete, which is scheduled for March of 2027. And then ACL's facility, they're trying to get it substantially complete by May of 2027 at the very latest. So those are kind of my suggested next steps. And I want to kind of have a discussion about this, because we never really taken a formal work session and talked about the different uses, different user types, the space allocation, what's going to really move the needle for the economy along the waterfront. I think a lot of, again, from the previous waterfront master plan, the whole thing was just a pump, which clearly that's not going to pay the bills in the future. And we need to be able to have a mixed, balanced waterfront that's going to drive economy for the community, ranging from the visitor industry to the accommodation sector, all the way to fabrication and repair of the Marine Service Center. And of course, you want to have some space allocated for the community to enjoy. So I'm going to pause there. And Kate, do you have anything to add? You're a really big part of this whole process. So
may I just give like a brief overview of this?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Do you have a point?
I sure do.
That point. I knew I saw it somewhere.
Yeah. It's pretty self-explanatory, but I just want to highlight a couple of things for folks. As we know, coming off City Dock, there's a point of congestion here, and everyone that comes off a ship spills into Front Street right here and causes some issues in this particular intersection. So by establishing a pathway right off City Dock, we can allow for a bit more of a dispersion effect. Some people down Front Street as they normally would, and some people can walk along the waterway. And this is intended to be a visitor kiosk center, similar to some of the pop-ups that we have already downtown, where we can provide maps, directions, and general visitor services through our office. This is new. This provides a turnaround or a cul-de-sac, not a cul-de-sac, but a thoroughfare for vehicles coming through Front Street. So it still allows for vehicular access. And then you have your motor coach and parking area for buses. So they nose into the parking spot and then they can back out and then exit along the corridor. Initially, we had a plan that had Campbell Drive vacated, which is a main artery of downtown and pretty critical, whether you have the shipping operation and freight operations downtown or not. So we didn't want to lose this particular area. I also want to point out that this lease space and the bathrooms and all of that infrastructure that is inhabited by Samson Tug and Barge would remain. And this plan doesn't propose to demolish that now or in the future, because it's a viable commercial space that we wouldn't otherwise have. There is no other land within the borough currently that is designated as commercial in our future growth maps or in existing plans that would allow for commercial space to be expanded. So we felt that it was pertinent to have some commercial space along the waterfront. Instead of having the pop-up vendor spaces, our hope would be that there'd be retail space down at the bottom, and that there'd either be short-term accommodations or residential space, which the commercial district allows on the second story. So that's, you know, a combined 23,000 square feet of commercial space. And modeling after Everett, Washington, in the port of Everett there, they actually had specific parcels that were designated for uses. And then they solicited for real estate proposals that brought in new industry and economy. And they've got a really vibrant waterfront that allows for some industrial activity, some green space for recreation, as well as some new and modern commercial space. And then of course, parking in the downtown area. We've had some issues with parking up at the post office for employees of the visitor industry, and that's creating a bit of a conflict between residents and the industry overall. So making sure we have adequate parking for both of these commercial spaces that may also include rentals along this particular corridor and for activities adjacent to the Nolan Center. And then there is a little playground in this particular area so that the waterfront is inclusive to all different types of user groups. And then, of course, we've talked about for a long time having a pavilion that's accessory to the Nolan Center. With expansion of the Marine Service Center, the concern was that you would lose some visibility and viewshed of the waterfront from the Nolan Center for events. But by adding the pavilion and green space here, complementary and accessory to the Nolan Center, we solved that problem. And the viewshed from this location is just as grand as from coming off the backside of the Nolan Center. So those are the main pieces. Obviously, you have the ACL dock here. You have the barge that's repurposed for a lightering dock that would allow folks that have to anchor offshore or fishermen or public users of that nature to utilize this particular floating infrastructure and then access some of these pedestrian walkways. So again, just taking away that small individual pop-up that only allows for 5 to 8 spaces and allowing for a lot more square footage through proper subdivision planning.
Good job, Kate. In addition to that, that floating dock is one of the components of the EDA portfolio of projects submitted. EDA could fund the whole 3 component projects, from my understanding. They could just fund the shipyard proposal. And if they were to fund something, I would guess it would be the shipyard, given the alignment with the administration. One thing we know for sure is we're likely not going to relocate the Chugach out in front of the Nolan Center right there. Doesn't make a lot of sense. We'd have to do a lot of work to be able to do that. We'll probably keep it generally in the same proximity, but we're going to adjust the orientation for the ballast pointing north alongside the Nolan Center. And I do have a pretty good indication from the Forest Service that they'll be under contract for the shelter, and the scope of work will be a little bit different. So I got more on that in my manager's report tonight. But really what I want to talk about with you guys is what is in this that you don't like, or what's not in this that you like, and does this cover off on a variety of uses? And while you're thinking about that, I want to make it very clear that this isn't some visitor industry waterfront. A hotel, for example, that commercial slot is going to service a lot of different industries across the community, whether it's search coming in with other employees that are visiting or doing trainings, whether it's the shipyard takes off, and now we got a bunch of government tax and surveyors and compliance regulatory folks working out at the shipyard. We just don't have enough people to stay, or we're doing conferences in the wintertime at the Nolan Center. We're limited. We can't really host more than what the Stikine and the Airbnbs can accommodate. We can't pull off Southeast Conference and some of the larger association conferences, which are huge economic drivers, especially in the winter months when things are really, really slow. So this isn't something that is just tending to the visitor industry, the cruise ships. It's really meant to be a balanced waterfront and something for the community to enjoy as well.
I agree with you starting, if you will, from left to right. But the easiest part, if you wanted to know what I wanted first, was actually going the other way, expanding the Marine Service Center and then the pavilion in that light green space or wherever we decide to put it. The other aspect of it to the left is a little bit more complicated. We're going to have to go out for solicitation and bids and really think that through.
My guess is no matter which way we bid it out, we'll get the whole footprint based off of some numbers I've seen. Although, you know, it's something to think about. It is a sequence of add alternatives and how we bid the project out.
And you're just talking for the fill.
For the fill specifically. Because if it does come in high on the competitive bid and we cut off half the waterfront park, you know, you ain't expanding Marine Service Center, you ain't getting the work done. So
right.
So you're right on that, Patty. I've thought about that as well. But I think really assuming this whole thing is filled out, how do you guys want this, or what's your interpretation of what the community would want?
Well, I know they want a pavilion, and that would be the first structure I would put in. And I know they want the Marine Service Center. What were you going to say?
Well, for one, unless something has changed, we were told that you can't have green space on this field.
You can.
Remember that?
No. Yeah. That we cannot have green space?
But the Corps would not let us put green space on it because of the commercial aspect of it. That's it. And I know we were told that 5 or 6 years ago when we started talking about this.
Oh, gosh.
Now, something's changed.
The Corps has already approved a permit.
And they approved the permit as green space too?
They just approved the permit to fill.
Okay.
They don't do any, there's no other approvals needed.
You can do anything on the land.
I think their preference is industrial, but
Okay, I just don't want us to get so far into it.
Yeah.
And then go, whoa, wait a minute. You guys just spent a lot of money doing something. You can't put that there.
Yeah. No, as far as I'm aware, there's no hiccups at the core. They've already given their
order. We want to look into that for one, then, just to make sure. I don't want to get way too far into this thing, and then all of a sudden they say, well, you're not doing that. Okay, so because that's going to change the whole plan if we do that, right? And then the other thing is it all looks great, okay? What's the lightering float? Where did that come from?
That is from Cruise Line Agencies of Alaska, and that is the barge that they have, that they just had in berth 4 in Ketchikan. Had that there for quite some time.
Okay.
They just replaced it with a floating dock facility to accommodate larger and different vessels. And we made them aware that we're interested in that barge for potential use against a barge ramp. So we have a place for a fisherman to tie up to, load their sand nets if they wanted to, different users, you know. And again, it could be a lightering float for the visitor industry when some vessels are anchored out, like we've seen in recent days.
Well, another thing I have is that, you know, this is all fill. We're sitting on fill.
Yep.
Okay. And as we move out, if you block something off, and that's the only problem, I don't have a problem with this. It's just that you block something off, like you put this on the waterfront, that's your waterfront, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. That's it. So if you want to expand it a little bit further, if you, later on down the road, not, you know, we've been sitting here for 30, 40 years since it's been filled out here. But in 30, 40 years, you see where I'm going with this, you've already kind of, you know, hamstrung yourself on the whole waterfront. So if you want to expand out to that waterfront in any way, of, you know, like, and I'm going to say it, I'm really hoping that we get something of the idea of 200 or 300 more people working here.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find yourself wanting to expand somewhere. And if you take all that off of there completely and turn it, and I'm going to say it because I don't have a problem with tourists at all, because right now, we don't have that. We don't raise the taxes. That's the way I look at it, right? Okay. So, but I don't want to put all of our apples into one cart. I just don't know where to go with it. I'm just spitballing here. I don't know where to go with it, but I kind of, you know, right or left. The right is easy because you just keep on filling out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't fill out too far because you're going to run into the cruise ship dock. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And this is just a concept. So, I mean, it's not like, I'm sure this is not scale, right?
It's generally to scale, but it's, you know, it's not a serving flat.
So, I mean, I like that idea. I mean, it's a great idea. It's just that.
But I think really when I want to fill here,
that really makes me nervous that we've been filling out from Front Street for 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now look where we're sitting right now. Look where there's a business sitting right over here. And
yeah,
the business is down here. And now if you hamstring that, you're not filling out no more. You're not adding no more business to it. You're not having any more commerce in any way. It's done. If that's what you want to do for the next 100 years, then that's great. And that's where, I mean, that's why I'm glad you brought that, because it's just a big conversation now.
Yeah.
Where we want to go with that, Phil.
Well, I think that's the important thing about what the assembly and our administration has done is the 2015, I mean, it's a 2015 master plan stemming from a 2010 comp plan, and nobody took any action to actually do anything other than just talk about it. So the nice thing is we will have the footprint, but it's more important to me that once it's established, we want to go. I see, and I think staff see it this way, that the practical path forward, ACL is already happening, that deal signed. The Marine Service Center is cheap and easy to expand, and maybe you don't even have any lease space right away, but pretty easy to extend power and have additional boat storage right away. That's going to, you know, increase earning potential at the Marine Service Center. And Director Robinson and the crew have looked into the park infrastructure and what we might do in the near term, looking at 80 by 40 pavilion. We don't have a downtown pavilion anymore for community events, you know. On top of just the 4th of July, we have Elk Run Music now. We have some concerts that have been part of the local economy and just large community events. So we plan to procure that with your guys' blessing here soon.
Well, see, okay, so that's why this is where I'm going to basically mirror what the mayor said is, from going right to left, you start commerce right off the bat.
Yeah.
Okay. Instead of going the other way, and I agree with Patty that you're gonna, there's a lot of money involved in going from left to right, and not so much from right to left. Okay, because you're gonna fill in there, and all of a sudden, I can put 40 more boats in there if I want to, you know, or 5 more businesses or whatever, and then ACL is still taken care of. And then you move along the way to the left as you have the money or you get the grants to do it. That's the only problem I have going from left to right instead of right to left.
Yeah, really hopeful that the whole project, the whole scope is able to be completed, because regardless of which way you do it, and I agree with you, and I think that's something we need to communicate to PND and within the capital projects team before we actually go out to competitive bid. But the reality is, if we don't do it all at once, you're going to armor rock one of the sides that's not filled all the way over. And that's eventually just going to get filled over the top one day, because you're not going to have this, you know, gaping hole in your waterfront forever, right? You're going to eventually fill that that gap in between. And so I think that, you know, it's inefficient, clearly, if we don't get it all in one fell swoop. So that's certainly the goal, but duly noted. And I would be a supporter of going from right to left, barring any other implications.
And my problem is, I don't know what fits into the left portion.
I think we have time, right?
Yeah, we have time. And I guess we could go out for bids, but I don't know if anyone would be interested at this early stage of the game.
So I think that, you know, once you actually have the waterfront, you can actually start looking at surveying different parcels, getting a layout for the rest of the northern portion. It's not going to be till 2028 until the cargo transfer facility is built and complete. And more on that in my manager's report, because we got some good milestones to report there. But I refuse to believe that we can't make meaningful progress in the meantime and start going on a phase one and starting to benefit the Marine Service Center and the community, and certainly the visitor industry with ACL. So
I think it's just going to be a mess for a year or two. I honestly do. I mean, you're going to try. I mean, you can't just build that park. And I mean, it would be great to have the first ships come in here and all this is done, but that's not realistic.
No.
You know, the other thing is, you got to, I don't know. I'm not going to say that.
Okay. Well, that's helpful. I'm going to kind of kick it over to Lucy really quick. Lucy, why don't you describe what I tasked you with a couple weeks ago, and the interconnection between the waterfront and Kyle Angerman. That's the source of the funds. We can use it for either one, hopefully all of the above. But this assembly has tasked me with playground infrastructure recap as one of the goals. And we want to make sure that we meet, obviously, our critical obligations, but we move that needle too. So,
yeah.
Lucy, I'm going to pull up your email.
Yeah,
go ahead and just start filling the room here, and then I'll go.
So I was tasked with looking into structures, pavilion structures for the waterfront concept, ensuring that we have a pavilion for all the things, not only just for basic daily recreation, but potentially to collaborate with Milk Run Music Festival, and expanding, you know, more of our recreational opportunities in the downtown area. So I went with initially, I went with a Polygon. We're receiving quotes from Polygon. Right now, I do have some quotes, and they're in Mason's email. And then we started talking about revitalizing a playground. Obviously, that's really important. So I started working with Northwest Playgrounds, who I've worked with before. Oh, there we go. Thank you.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's cool. So we've got the 40 by 84 steel pavilion. The initial cost on that, including the install, is $202,000. That's a basic steel pavilion. I'm still waiting for the rest of the quotes, the more specific quotes for the galvanized powder-coated steel pavilion structures, because I feel like if it's at the waterfront and we want to reduce maintenance costs,
I wanted to make sure that we are looking into that cost, just because down the road, it's going to cost us more to do it later on. So the 40 by 84 is around $202,000. Concrete foundations, this is coming in from VW Enterprise, as well as I did some research, just industry standard, what those footings look like, $100,000 to $120,000 if we have 4 to 6 footings for the steel pavilions. And then we were looking at turf, just so I could reduce my maintenance costs annually and throughout the years, as well as staffing. So the turf is very expensive, as you can see there. So, well, the 22 square feet, I think we mapped it out and it was going
to
be around,
it was close to the total.
It was close to $300,000 for the turf of what we were thinking of. And then we also, there's two different styles. Can you scroll down, Mason? Yeah, there's photos there. There's two different styles. So this one is, the one that I was just talking about. It's just the basic roof concept, very basic rectangular pavilion. And then scroll down just a little bit more. And then this is the Chelsea. This is the one that Mason had originally looked at. So that, if you scroll back up, Mason, I can just double check. Thank you. A little bit further, so you can see those numbers. Thanks. So there's it's a smaller steel pavilion, but it is upwards of $160,000. It has the two levels, the roofing, the two level roof, gabled roof. So it's, you know, a little bit more complex of a build. And then again, the concrete foundation, because it is a smaller build, it's 80 to 100,000. And then we're just not quite sure if we want to go with that turf. So initially we would probably just go with a capped surface area, not concrete right now, but a concrete footings, but not a concrete pad, just a dirt pad inside. And the steel pavilions are also equipped or outfitted with electric options, like electric areas where you can run electricity. And I propose that we wait, you know, hold before we, obviously we're going to move forward, but I really would like to look towards the galvanized powder coated steel frame, because that is going to reduce our overall maintenance costs. And as you guys know, you know, maintenance is always an issue. It's been a thorn in our sides, and I think that will really help us in the long term. So go ahead and scroll down, Mason, thank you. So the Kyle Engerman scope includes new playground equipment, improved surfacing, court improvements, park furnishings, fencing, and related site upgrades. I'm still getting the details coming in. The structures, Play World has various sales throughout the year. So they've got springtime sales, fall sales, which will reduce our shipping costs, and it gives us about a 25% discount on the structures themselves. So we can kind of pick and choose which structures we want to utilize. $115,000 for two to three structures, which would include a climbing structure, slide, as well as swings with two regular swing sets, an infant swing and an ADA compliant swing. And then some sort of merry-go-round or something like that. My hope is that we can come up with 3 or 4 different designs, not only structure designs or kind of replacing and providing structure options, but also color palette options that we can put to the community once we decide to move forward, and we can put that to vote just for community engagement. Mason and I spoke about also having more community engagement with volunteer work parties, either decommissioning, breaking down the playground, or even installing the playground, depending on where that puts us with liability and warranty. The turf is going to be incredibly important. The ADA compliant turf is $70,000 right now. We could shrink that likely once we get the actual footprint of the structure and we know exactly where we need to have that turf for fall compliance. So that will likely come down hopefully a little bit, but I wanted to just make sure that we have the bigger numbers so that we can look at where we're at. Basketball court resurfacing. I spoke with Brett Woodbury about completely redoing that court, and it would be upwards of $120,000 to redo that basketball court. And so we talked about resurfacing the court every, you know, if we start out next year and get that court resurfaced, we could do it every 10 years. And that would be cost effective. It would also square up any blemishes and make for kind of a brand new looking court, feeling court every time we resurfaced. So It's about $15,000 to $20,000 currently. And Brett Woodbury would have the, you know, the ability to do that, or if we needed to go out to bid or look somewhere else, we could do that as well. But he provided that quote for me. New commercial basketball backboards, I just went for industry standard averages, and they run between $3,000 and $5,000. However, we could probably do some internal work on those. Two bear resistant garbage cans, which I'm trying to, as we cruise, I'm trying to replace all of our garbage cans with those bear resistant garbage cans. And they're actually surprisingly pricey, but they're great. They're hardy. We've had these ones, what, for the last four years. And they've been really good, rust resistant, all the things. And then the chain link fence, I'm still getting a quote for that. A couple things to think about with a chain link fence. Do you want me to get this far into detail?
This is good. Okay, and I would just a few comments before you proceed. Yeah. So a couple of things, again, we're talking about Kyle Angerman because the funding sources for the waterfront and Kyle Angerman are going to be complementary. We really want to make sure that we try to address both with the CBD funds and the APRA funds and permanent fund draw. We're going to not turn these into large capital projects. I think this is something we want to buy prefab, pre-designed structures. Not that it's just completely on a budget, but there's those options. And we've seen what a mill of local pavilion can cost when we did a city park project. And sometimes it's better just to go with a prefab design and move forward. And certainly we can do that. And we want to leverage some of the volunteer relationships we have, as well as the Friends of the Parks, which will be a nonprofit soon.
We have a meeting on August 13th, and then after that, we should be there.
Which could turn this into a much more affordable project. Sorry, go ahead and proceed with the fence.
And we need to find another place to store our snow.
So I have some thoughts about that, and we can talk about it. I do want to incorporate the fence specifics based on that snow load. I mean, it's needed, we have to do it. And I just feel like maybe what we should do is just plan on a resurfacing and we share that fee with Public Works or something. I just feel like, you know, we're not gonna get away from that at this point, unless you guys have an idea that I don't. And so I was incorporating our fence components with that concept because they have the rolling fence or the bay door fences. So instead of having to pull apart our fence, roll it back and damage it, somebody, no matter what, something gets lost, something gets broken. And then by the time it's June, the fence still isn't rolled back. So I wanted to make it more efficient and easier and just work that into the fence design. So, you guys can tell me differently. And if you guys have a place to store that snow, great. If not, we're going to make it work. And then maybe Public Works can help us pay for the resurfacing every 10 years. I don't know.
So really, really great job, Lucy. So the point of all this is really to show that we think we have a phase one and a Kyle Angerman project that we can do with both the funding sources that we've identified.
Yes, yeah.
And that's why we didn't advertise for Kyle Angerman. There will be a future work session and public presentation where we survey the interest of the community. And I know that's a hot topic currently. So what thoughts, questions, concerns do you guys have about funding approach and the timeline that we're on?
I like the timeline.
Okay.
And I would encourage you to move forward, on this.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I think it is important. You know, we are trying our best to work with the public. And I know that there's been some contention with the demolition of the other playground. And I think that, you know, this all shows that we're ready to move forward and instead of kicking the can down the street to make it happen. And I think that's really important to the community. So I want to make it happen.
I think this assembly will endorse that.
We have a work session on this before you go buy and stuff.
Yeah. So kind of going back, I don't know where, if I have like an invisible screen on my computer, it's kind of hard to find where my PowerPoint is, but back up.
What was the name of the company you referenced that had the discounts that you've been working with?
Play World. And that's the Northwest Playgrounds. Heather had presented here last May. And we've been working with her quite a bit, and she's done a really great job at moving forward, charging ahead or pulling back, depending on where we're at with our budget, my direction. So
my two cents is, I mean, you know, I've been asking for new playgrounds for 5 years now. Next year for 5 years. So I'm glad that hopefully next year we'll get there.
Yeah.
I would like, especially if they get the massive discount in the fall, to kind of look at utilizing that to save some money, go ahead and get that.
And I think, yeah.
We've got something for spring.
I agree. And I'll obviously wait for direction, but I think that we can do that. I think that we can specifically pick different things and order based on sales and getting the best discount. The 25% discount on the equipment is great, but also the free shipping from their the company in the Midwest to Seattle is even better. So,
and then as far as the playground, I hadn't visualized that on the waterfront, a marine.
Mm-hmm. I think that's been tossed in there quite a bit over the years, and that's something that could certainly happen, but just let me know.
Yeah.
I think another note is we kind of pull some interest from a variety of stakeholders on another hotel and providing accommodation and increasing our capacity in the community has been really perceptive. I think there's a lot of interest. So I don't think that's going to be a hard hurdle to overcome. Again, you know, one of the goals with American Cruise Lines was to turn their guests here in Wrangell. And that's something that we set out initially in our partnership. That means another jet with Alaska Airlines, that there's an appetite for them to bring online during the summer months to do that. And then you have people flying in each day and turning on those itineraries in Wrangell, stay a night in a hotel, the facilities right there, embark, disembark right there. So that's a huge goal, economic driver, low traffic, 170 passenger ships. Those are the ones we really, really like, because low burden on the community.
And back to the Kyle Angerman, during our October or August meeting, can we have a report?
Yeah, for sure. I'll get you more accurate numbers. Like I said, I've got the fencing company in Ketchikan pulling numbers for me, and I want to get some details on that. There's some code issues where we're dumping kids out onto the street, so I want to reconsider where the openings to the playground are, and then if we want to keep dumping snow in that at that site, I think it's important that we adjust that fence to meet the standards and allow heavy equipment in there as well. So yeah, absolutely.
Benches, public constantly asked me for more benches.
Yes,
in different locations.
Yes, everybody wants a place to sit.
Yeah,
so we can do that, and we will get rid of some of those benches because they're fairly worn, but we can salvage some of them, and we're going to order some new ones. So that's included in there too.
Great.
Okay.
So really, this is kind of just to want to get a pulse check, see if we're moving in the right direction in your guys' eyes. And then we'll have a lot more detailed discussions going into the fall once we get the number for the waterfront and that construction starts. And there will be construction because we promised that at the ACL. And we expect the construction to happen at the same time. So, another big part of our economic development journey.
Great. Good presentation. Any questions?
Real quick. Pavilion versus amphitheater. You know about that?
It's a pavilion, but I can certainly get information on amphitheater style from Polygon. I know that the bandstand option is there, and the way it's placed could be, you know, we could position it in a different way as well. That's an option that I can look into.
And either one, I just think, especially with Milk Run Music Festival and that type of thing, to me, it just kind of looks weird to put them.
Yeah.
You can't really see versus a more
absolutely
concept.
Yeah, I can definitely pull some, information about that and include it, and then you guys can decide where you want to go with it.
I know you'll need a lot of electrical.
Yes. Outlets. Yes. Every steel beam would have electrical. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Well, I think that's it, Assembly. We got about 10 minutes before the assembly meeting. And did you guys have anything to? Wayne, I don't know if that's why you came here. I just want to give you the opportunity.
Really, just we've come in this place, gotten Citra by some things that have gone past 5 to 10 years, and just kind of wanted to see what the old times were.
You guys live in here in Wrangell now, or
been in and out for a few years, but looking at trying to find a new place that we can go.
We have land for sale.
Welcome you.
You're just going to be staying here.
We will make it happen. Well, thanks for coming tonight. Really appreciate your attendance.
Yeah. Any Senator Mayor, I have some comments, please.
Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Yeah, I just want to add a little some thoughts to this. I really admire all the thoughts that's gone into this and the progress, and it's pretty good. The only thing I'm really have strong concern about is that we would build a brand new playground and then start to use it as a snow dump. That's just unconscionable to me that we would do that. There's got to be other places to take that snow besides a brand new playground. And a lot of the appearance of that playground is because they've been mashing snow into there and basically ruining the fencing and stuff. It's just not appropriate to have that dual use. That's all I have.
Thanks for jumping on that. I'll deal with Public Works Director and we'll look at some alternatives. I know that the fencing is a huge concern with Kyle Angerman, and part of the feedback we got from decommissioning the little playground at City Park is that there's no other secure playground for little kids in the downtown area. So we're going to go ahead and move on installing some fencing all the way around the park so there's no gaps and stuff. And we were planning on putting a gate in there that opened up so the fence just doesn't have to get rolled back during the snow removal time frame. But me and the Public Works Director will get together, and that's something we'll hash out as we get more detailed plans put together.
Good.
Thank you.
I will let you guys all take a little bit of a break because I got a long assembly meeting for you here in a few minutes.